to have all of our visitors here.
Appreciate you coming and being with us this morning. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Start my reading at verse number 9. And reading through verse 13. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. The greatest of these is charity. If the Lord would help me for a few minutes, I would like to preach to you this morning on now and then. Now and then. It's a common expression, now and then. We use it when we mean occasionally or once in a while. But I want to use it differently tonight. As we stand here before God, I want to say that we have been now in revival. Now something has to be done. And then something will happen. Now and then. For now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Amen. Now I know in part, then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and with power and great glory. Then shall he send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds. Not now, but then. Right. Now and then. Jesus is coming again.
Yes, he is.
That's right.
He's coming again in person. It's clearly set forth, not only by the Lord, but by angels. Not only by them, but the epistles that we read daily in our daily Bible reading. All speak of the future coming of Jesus Christ. He is coming again. It will be a glorious, glorious event for us. It will be a horrible event for those not ready. Our Lord shall appear. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with him. We will meet them in the air, for when God comes and sends his Son, he shall bring them with him. Now we are separated. Then we will be united. Now and then. Praise God. We're looking this morning at the word that is called the rapture. If you search your Bible, you'll search it in vain to find it. Amen. But it is something that we believe and hold dear to our heart. You cannot always find all the words that we use. It just means to be snatched away, to be carried away, to be taken away. It just simply means that there is coming an event that is going to happen to us, and it is going to be spontaneous. It is going to be instantaneous.
Right.
It's going to be forever changing us.
Amen.
After that event, there will be no more ever growing old, ever weary, ever tired, ever confused, ever bewildered, ever hurt, ever sorrowful.
Thank God.
Even so, Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Right.
Amen. The real purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to get people ready for the rapture. From the first century church until this, we are working on getting people out of the world and ready for the rapture. It is one of the terms that we use now, is rapture ready. Are you rapture ready? We need to be.
Yes, sir.
For he will come in an hour when you least expect him. In an hour when you are least prepared, he is coming. Or you can be ready. How many know that the best is to be ready? Can somebody say amen real loud?
Amen.
When we build in the anticipation of the rapture. When we send people out to preach like we do Brother Alexander and Brother Houston, that they go out with the intent of getting people saved and ready for the rapture. Amen. When we send the buses out on Sunday morning, we're anticipating the coming of the Lord. We know that it can happen at any time. We want people to be ready to be caught away. Even the people that we sometimes don't always understand why they do what they do. But a soul that's saved is one that can be ready for the rapture. You cannot go in the rapture with sin in your life. You cannot go with your sins in your heart. They must be under the blood. You must be washed whiter than snow by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you stick around, you've got to be sanctified. If you stick around longer, you've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you stick around longer, you've got to live a holiness life. If you get saved and die the next day, you're okay.
Amen.
But if you stick around, you've got to be ready.
Amen.
And it is in the fearfulness of our and great trepidation of our heart is that we look at people and we know they're not ready.
Right.
Now, right now, are you ready now? Because then it will be too late.
Right.
Are you ready now? Is those sins under the blood? Are you born again? Is the sin question settled? Are you 100% on the side of the Lord? Are you ready? Now is the question.
Right.
Readiness is now the question. Right. Then it will be too late.
Amen.
So we see that the anticipation of that great day makes us want to witness to somebody. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If you really believe that Jesus could come at any time, how can you not have a burden?
Amen. Right.
If you really believe Jesus could come at any time, how can you sit comfortably in a church knowing that your children are going to go through tribulation? It's like believing in hell. If you really believe in hell, a burning, literal, tormenting, eternal place called hell, how can you not weep? You see, we're talking about now and then. We bury a saint, but we bury them in the anticipation of the rapture. We go to a graveyard and we put flowers on a grave that they know they'll never smell, they'll never see. But we do so reminding ourselves that one day they'll live. Now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. It's the now and then of it all. He will come. He will come. It's positive. There is no argument. He will come. If he is coming, and he is, then we should be elated and overjoyed. We should be happy. We should be jumping up and down. We should be clapping our hands. You say, that's just too emotional. Really? Is it too emotional to know that your way out is about here? Is it too emotional to think That in a moment you can be changed, and all the things that you battle and fight and argue about with yourself, right, wrong, should I, shouldn't I, will all be settled, and we will be free people for eternity? Oh, I think that's hand clapping stuff.
Yes, sir.
I think that now we have the chance and the obligation to prepare ourselves. And we're Pentecostal. I tell folks, I talked to a man, I've known him, I knew him and talked to him in passing for years now. And finally he saw me coming up the aisle at Kroger's with stuff in my hand. He said, come here. So I came over there and he whizzed me through the self-checkout and everything. And he said, how's your day? And I said, busy, but it's good. And he said, mean at the office? No, I said, I'm a pastor. He said, what church? And I told him we're a pastor at. He said, I'm Primitive Baptist. I said, that's good. Primitive Baptist. He said, a small church. And I said, conservative, right? He said, very conservative. I said, we are too. So I started talking to him about coming. I said, come to church. Come to church. We are Pentecostal. We could have passed for Primitive Baptist this morning. You see, there are times when we must understand preparedness means we can rejoice. Preparedness means we can worship. If he comes in the middle of our worship, it will be no different than if he comes in the middle of our job. It will be no different if he comes in the middle of our sleep. We should be ready no matter where we are or what we're doing. Our attitude should always show our belief that Jesus can come now. Amen.
Amen.
The normal reaction to Pentecostal worship is spontaneous. It means we can do anything from jumping up and down to hand clapping to rolling in the floor and running around the building or speaking in tongues or just weeping as though we have been what? Touched. And it's acceptable. The thing that's not acceptable is that we are so quiet with such a great day on us.
Right.
That we are so unconcerned when our greatest achievement is about to be placed before us. Because of everything that I could have in this world, I would rather be in the rapture than to win the lottery. I would rather be in the rapture than to be elected president. I would rather be in the rapture than to have anything this world could offer. My great day is upon me. It is coming now. Now is the day of the Lord, nearer than when we first believed. I have pursued this day for 48 years. I have pursued it, longed for it, cried for it, wished for it, sung about it, preached about it, held on for it, comforted my heart with it, went to the graveyard with my saints, amen, and put them in the ground knowing that someday I was going to shake hands again with the elders and tell my kindred good morning. All of that is a hope that I get from that one word, rapture.
Right.
And now we are nearer than when we have first begun. Right. Pursue on, yes. But I'm in a war until that day happens.
Right.
I am in a war for my life.
Right.
Now I am in a battle. Then I will have the victory. Now I have an adversary. Then I will be an overcomer. Now I have to watch lest I be wounded Amen. But then I will be above the wounds of this world. You see, now I am in a war. Now I have to be vigilant. Now I have to be careful. I have to go where I go cautiously. I have to think what I think cautiously. I have to watch what I say cautiously, because out of character will lose my preparedness. Now I am a soldier on guard. Now I am a soldier vigilant. Then I will be forever relieved of my duty. But in this war, there is no discharge. Now is war. Then is peace. Now vigilance. Then rest. Now problems. Then the solution. Always somebody help me preach. We have a lot of battles to fight. We fight them on a daily basis. We fight growing old. Can't win it. We fight it. I'm often very amused when I see somebody my age trying to be 16 again. It really amuses me. I said, now what if you could get that? What would you do? Starting all over again? You know what I say? No way. No, I'm not going to go back just to start all over again. I'm glad I'm where I'm at. Now I have victory. To go back and start over again, I might not have victory. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
So we see that this war, we fight against our own self. We want to drive ourselves. We want to press on and see what the end's going to be. We want to keep on going in the wonder of it all, that the next step I might be home.
Right.
Amen. If not today, tomorrow in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Oh, my friends, we have a lot of battle to fight. And I, as your pastor, I know you're fighting them. I know you're fighting. The devil has not taken a leave of absence. But we see now, dimly though, the lights on the shore of our home. We see dimly now, amen, that there is between us and there some troubled waters. Evening will eventually come and we will reach the shore. Paul just says, in this time, fight a good fight. Fight a good fight of faith. It's no time to stop and celebrate. It's no time to stop and let down your guard. Now we're still in the war, and we must continue in that war until then, when we are taken from the battlefield. Till then, my friend, don't be duped by this world and tell yourself that Jesus is not coming. It's a strange thing to hear young people talk about where is his coming. That's a fulfilled prophecy. It's just to hear people say, I've heard that all of my life, and not know that you're fulfilling prophecy, that Jesus said you would do that, that you would be unnerved and unnerved by this world until you would doubt the promises of God. And the only way that we can stern ourselves up is to hope, and to have hope and confidence that one day he will come. And when he comes, it'll all be over. Now we're still in the war. We must fight with our hands. We must fight with our faith. The fighting is getting more intense every day. When in America did we ever have political leaders like we've got today? And the fighting is going to get worse. When in America have we ever seen such immorality? Such less clothed people than you ever seen in your life? Amen. They're used to arrest people for public exposure. Now they praise them. Oh, you're not helping me, are you? We cannot celebrate. We have not won this war. cannot celebrate. Our fighting must go on. The enemy is moving in. He's arrayed against us. He makes his plans and moves every day. Look at the American home. Now, we not only have men marrying women, but we have men marrying men and women marrying women. One person can turn a whole law around.
That's right.
They can take our Constitution and wrest it to their own destruction.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
But I tell you, my friend, as long as there's war, there's going to be casualties. It's in these moments when we realize that the enemy is moving in and he's arrayed himself against us. The truth is, the church has never been in a battle any greater than it is right now. That's why we need revival now. That's why we need strengthening now. That's why we need the Holy Ghost to be filling us now. That's why we need to gather in and hold our children dearly to our breast and try to protect them from the onslaught of what's going on around them. They may not be your children. They may be your grandchildren. But let me tell you something, my friend. They're worth protecting. But if you are not vigilant now, if you are not prepared to fight the warfare now, what's going to happen then? Then when the trumpet sounds,
amen.
Then when the Lord appears, then when there is a decision that's made in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, then when no matter how much you care, you come out of Sodom empty-handed like Lot. What then? The day is now. The preparedness involves our personal consecration to the Lord. We hear a lot about churches. But a church cannot consecrate you. You must do it yourself. You must come back and do as Paul said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Holy consecrated simply means these words. You've got to live a separate life. You cannot play with the world. You cannot be a turncoat and fight on one side on one issue and fight on another side on another issue. If you're on the Lord's side, then take a stand. If you're on the Lord's side, do it now. If you're on the Lord's side, remember now's the most important part of your life. It's not yesterday. We can't change that. It's not tomorrow because you can't get to it. But now is the day of the Lord. And now must be the most important hour of your life.
Amen.
Amen. If there is in you some work that you cannot take before the Lord, then it would be better for you to lose that work and maintain your fellowship with Jesus. I know. I know. You say, Brother Sutherland, what in the world are you trying to tell me? Now's the time for the altar. Now's the time to get prayed through. And when you do, you'll look right. There's some things that I never understand is why with this book that we have, why I must continue to keep preaching on issues that are spelled out plainly in this book.
Amen.
Why do I have to keep telling you it's wrong when you own one yourself? It almost makes me understand that you're not prepared. You're not consecrated. If you was consecrated, you wouldn't argue with this book. You would say to this book, amen. You see, sometimes we forget that now is the most important time. If God looks over the banisters of heaven and watches us, then God wants us to be right. God has got to make us right, but he wants us to stay right. And some of you have had such great experiences. Some of you have had wonderful experiences. I can remember God touching you. God really touching your life. I can see back in your history, God helping you, marvelously helping you. God coming to you in a crisis in your life. And now I can look at you and see you're letting down your guard. You're wanting to go at ease in Zion. And this is the most critical battle. This is the church's battle of the Waterloo. Lose this one, we lose everything. Win this one, we turn the tide. And this is why we need revival now. Revival is the answer. Not praying for revival. What are you doing about revival? You can be on your prayer list, but are you doing it? Listen, Paul said, stir up the gift that is within you. Amen. Stir it up. Do you want revival? It starts with you. It starts in your home. It starts with you consecrating. It starts with you turning yourself into a soldier and realizing there's a battle to be won. I wish somebody shout amen. The battle to be won is not going to be won if you're just going to play. You can't play and stay. You've got to have more than just playing the part. You can pray for revival, but you won't get nowhere until you put yourself first on the altar. You heard the story about the monkey that escaped from the zoo in the wintertime. They went on to look for it and they found it. Cuddled up next to a fireplace. In the fireplace was a painted flame. It froze to death, hoping to get fire from a painted flame. And some of your consecration is like that painted flame. It looks like a fire, but it puts out no heat. We need to come to that place that you get down back to where we used to be raised. How many's ever had a house that was heated other than by a furnace? Oh, there's some folks that's got a little age on them. All our children know is hot, cold, flip the switches. We used to know that we had to cut wood for the winter. That means that we went out to the woods, we cut down the wood, we put it down. And got it in. And then we hooked up the old frame of the old Model A and put the belt on the buzz saw. And we started cutting wood. And we griped. Yeah, we did. But all of we needed to be reminded of, winter's coming. Winter's coming. The old hog paid the price. Winter's coming. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The price has to be paid because something's coming you can't handle. And without making provisions for it, you're going to suffer. I'm telling you, my friend, look at the horizon. See the storm clouds? There's a storm coming. Look at the horizon. See all the trouble there is? It's going to magnify itself until it's called great tribulation. Look at the horizon, my friend. See the storm coming? If the days are not shortened, no flesh shall be saved. Look at the horizon, my friend. See it? The storm clouds gathering? It's said in the Bible that over a third of the world's population at one time is dying. You know, 7 billion people? Figure up a third of it. Figure it up real quick. And you talk about dying. You talk about dead. Billions dead. And yet we sit as though there is no emergency facing us. And I tell you that God has not given us sunglasses, rose-colored sunglasses, to make everything look better. He gave us a book that's absolutely the truth. And in this truthful book, it tells us that we had better be ready, for our only escape is that when the Lord comes, we'll be accounted worthy to escape and to stand before the Son of Man. Shake your head, nod your head, do whatever you want to. But it still doesn't change the fact that if you don't get yourself back under control, you may be lost. I can pray, but the fire won't burn. I can try. I can say, oh, please, far burn. We used to get down sometimes and blow on the ashes, trying to get a spark to go. When you're desperate, you'll do anything. But please won't start the flame blazing. It won't do one bit of good to hope. If you want that fire, stir it up. Shake the ashes. Get ready to carry them out. Get ready to put fresh wood on the fire. And where there is no wood, the fire goes out. You can't wish and hope this. You can't wait for Brother Sutherland to do it or for somebody else to do it. You've got to do it yourself. It's time now for you to get prepared for then. If you don't do it now, when will you do it? Then is coming. The Lord is coming. It may not be able to lay it down at a day or a month or a year, but I can tell you this, he's closer now to coming than he's ever been before. Amen. We need to understand that. We need to know that the Pentecostal experience started on the day of Pentecost. It's never been any other way than a God-given experience. But before God gave it to them then, they had to tarry. They had to unite. They had to forgive one another. Peter was in there. Those disciples knew that they all had forsaken the Lord. They knew what Peter done, that Peter had denied the Lord. Don't tell me that they didn't have to roll over and put their arm around Peter and say, Peter, we all failed him. Let's put it in the past. Let's unite. Let's become one. Let's wait for the promise. Let's see that it's going to come. And then the day of Pentecost came, and now it became the day of Pentecost. It was here, and the fire was falling, and the praise was rolling, and the power was enduing. And then they went out on the street and began to change Jerusalem. And the Bible said that they got the name of they that come that turned the world upside down. It's got to start somewhere, and it's got to start with us. Now is the better day than you've ever had. Now is the time to get a burden for your children. Now is the time to get your heart back and give it to God. Now is the time. Because then may be too late. Now we need another united Pentecost. We need another binding together. Because we only have three weapons. And I'm going to just cut this message off, and it don't seem like I'm getting anywhere. So I just want to tell you, we have three weapons that a soldier has to use: faith, hope, charity. Faith. Faith, this has to do with our relation to God. How is your faith with God? Does God answer your prayer? Do you still have faith? Is it fixed? Is it abiding? Is it shaking? Your faith. What about our victories? Have we had some? Can we talk about miracles? Can we talk about healing? Can we talk about outstanding answers to prayers? Sometimes Brother Bill gets up here and has so many of those things that it just makes you want to join the army all over again. We sit here with the same congregation. We can't expect God to do the miraculous every day, but every once in a while, we have a need of the miraculous, and God has always come through. Amen. Our faith. But let me tell you something that might just startle you. You cannot let the past be the thing that you have always placed your faith in. Looking back and saying, it's not like it used to be. It's now. 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 Now God is answering prayer. Now God is working with his might. Now God is doing great things. Amen. I wish somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Now and then. You see, we all come to the now and thens of life. Then we have hope. What do we put our hope in? We put it in God. How long do we hope? We hope because it's fixed, it's abiding, it's a strong, steadfast. We must have hope to rebound. Amen. Amen. I like those little crazy balls. They used to call them little crazy rubber balls. I find one out in the parking lot every once in a while. And when I do, I turn childlike for a minute. I get it and I rear back with all of my 200 plus pounds. And I throw the force of it right down on that asphalt and watch it soar. Whew. Away it goes. Way up there. And I thought, God, give me some rubber like that in my soul. When the devil slams me and slams me the hardest he can, I want to go higher than I've ever been. You see, hope is the only thing that can make you rebound. If there was not a hope of getting up, then lay still. When you're knocked down, play dead. But if you hope to fight again, get up!
Get up!
Get over it! Amen. You can ask Brother Lakes, which was in the Pacific, ask him as a soldier if he could get relief from the front line if he skinned his knee. Ask him if he could be relieved of duty if he stoved a finger. You know what they would tell you? Get over it, soldier. The only way you get out of here is you can't pull the trigger. You stay on the front line. You invade, you dig in, you hold what you got, then you go on again to take more. One island at a time. One country at a time. We fought in Europe and won one country at a time until we were knocking on Hitler's door. Somebody shout amen. You don't get out because you scuffed your boots or got your pants dirty. You don't get relieved of duty because you got an upset stomach. You fight on until there is a declaration, amen, of a ceasefire of some sort. You don't quit fighting because the moment you give up, you will be overthrown. The devil is waiting to find, and he will spend a lot of time waiting to discover your weakness. But when he discovers it, and I hate to say it, I really do, good people have been absolutely destroyed by addiction. Preachers in the pulpit have been overcome by pornography. They are addicted to it and continue to preach. They're continuing to preach. Simply because they don't understand that they are trading off their very allegiance to the Lord and telling one another that it's all right to go on over the top of sin. That God will overlook sin. I tell you, my friend, it is not overlooked. All you're doing is giving the devil a chance to get into a church. Do you know that the water outside of a boat is no danger? But it's the water that gets in the boat that sinks it? The world that's around us is not our danger. It's the world that gets in us that's going to sink us. The world out there can be won. But the world that you let into this church is going to be the reason this church fails. Now, my friend, it's time for you to get serious. Now, my friend, it's time for you. It's time for you. Not us, you. Not me, you. It's time for you, not your wife. Not your husband, not your children, not your parents. It's time for you. You. Now is the time for you. To ask God to please continue this revival. To plead for God to give us the ability to endure hardness as a good soldier. For now is important. To us as a church, now is important to us as a family. Now is important to us as a marriage. Now is important to us as ability to go on and do God's will. It's now or never. Right. Don't tell me it can't happen to Dryden Road. Sure, we have a heritage. Sure, we have a history. But let me tell you, my friend, you won't be the first church that ever bit the dust on taking the easy road instead of enduring hardness. It's not that way. We need to come back to the sternness of the gospel, which means that if we're going to win, we must fight. If we're going to persevere, we must learn to get up and go on. If the mountains goes up, amen, the rough side now, after a while, we'll be on seas of glass. If the road is rough or with potholes, after a while, we'll walk on streets of gold. Now, it may be hard, but then there is a reward. Now, it may be a place that we cannot see and understand. It may be foggy. Press on. After a while, it's going to clear up. Press on now, because at the end of the road, there's a reward. Don't give up now. Endure till then, and you'll come for us. Oh, hallelujah. Now is the most important day of my life. More than I've ever figured in my life. Now is my most important time. Eli got old. He tolerated what his children done until it cost him both of his sons. Now is not a time to go at ease in Zion. Now is a time to pick up your weapons and stand up to be accounted. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, Father dear, we thank you. We thank you that you've given us a day that we can get prepared. So far you haven't come in this day, but before this day's over, you could come. There's still time for a sinner to come home. There's time for a backslider to come back. It's time for the cold and indifferent to arouse themselves out of sleep and slumber. It's time now. But it's right now. For you're going to send a strong delusion then that they'll believe a lie and be damned. Father, right now, the Spirit of God has been working so diligently, so purposely, Lord, to bring us to revival. Don't let us fail of the grace of God now. Because we really want to see you when you come. I keep waiting as I have for these 48 years for then to get here. Then when I get to see you face to face. Then when I get to hear your voice. Then when I get to touch you. Then when I get to know you. Then, oh God, when I get to love you and be with you for the rest of my life. That life is for eternity. Father, don't let me fail you now after I've fought so many years to win this battle. I've fought for my children, Lord. I've fought for my marriage. I've fought for my children. I've fought for my grandchildren. Don't let me lose them now. Not this close to my reward. Keep us, O God, ever in your care. Stir our hearts up that we may be ready for that day. For then we will be glad with joy unspeakable and yet full of glory. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, if you're here today and you've been discouraged and you thought about just what you could do if you didn't have to come to church, I ask you this morning, think about now, but don't forget about then. The rich man lived for now, but when the then came, then in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. There's a now, there's a then. I ask you this morning, are you ready? The greatest of all questions that you can answer is, I am ready. I am ready to live. I am ready to die. I am ready for the Lord to come. If not, what then? What then? Sister Sutherland, it's song. This altar's open. We want you to come. We want you to pray. Food will be over there when we get through here. How many will come this morning?